prioritizing yourself is not being selfish. You're actually allowing yourself to be filled by people to respect and honor you. And when they see your authenticity and they treasure the relationship and they want to keep it.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, we have Remy as a guest, and we are going to talk about a subject that a lot of people have and they probably don't know they have, and it's probably creating a lot of chaos in their life, and that is people-pleasing. Remy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brad. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
So tell us where you're from. Where are you talking from right now?
I'm speaking from Manila right now. I'm both from here in the Philippines and the US, but I'm living here in the Philippines.
Awesome.
Yeah. And this is where I'm based right now. And I help people around the world.
Awesome. So we're going to jump right in like we always do on this podcast. And I'm going to ask you a hard-hitting question. What exactly is a people pleaser? And how can entrepreneurs identify if they're caught in this trap?
So a people pleaser is, I wouldn't even call someone a people pleaser, but rather it's a trauma response of someone who is just fawning or just like trying to survive a situation that seems very unsafe and very daunting and intimidating and scary. So they will appease whoever is in that situation just so that they can feel safe again. So it's more of a trauma response than it is a label. But we're so used to calling people pleasers. But I believe that this can be fixed. So I don't think that anyone could be a people pleaser because they truly believe that they are kind, loving, giving people. And then oftentimes people pleasing can be confused with being kind. So we know that they are givers, they're goodest, they're very nice people, they're very giving, they're very polite, very kind. They're the type of person who just makes peace with everyone, that cares for everyone, and also probably is mostly the eldest sibling of the family and who just puts other people's needs first above their own because that's just their nature. But that all comes from a trauma in childhood, and then it became part of their personality into adulthood. So on the outside, it looks really good. There's nothing wrong with being kind and being so nice and polite. But when you become aware of what's going inside of you, you'll begin to see if you are people-pleasing or you're being genuinely very kind. Not that it's being kind is being fake, but overgiving kindness can be to a fault.
It sure can. Wow, you said a lot of great stuff in there that I want to unpack. So trauma response, what is a trauma response?
So a trauma response is a way for you to survive if a life-threatening situation or something that will threaten your needs not being met. So one of our essential basic needs from childhood is the need to be connected. So we will do everything we can to avoid the rejection. So part of avoiding the rejection is to appease the person that's causing the threat or that will threaten a disconnection because you need to connect to survive, especially with your caregivers, like your mom and your dad. You need to appease them if they're getting angry, when they're getting frustrated with you. You need to be nice. You need to be good so that they can love you back. They can accept you and they can meet your needs. They can give you what you want. But more often than not, that doesn't really happen. Your needs don't really get met that way. And then so you keep giving and giving in hopes of getting your needs met. But then lo and behold, when you get into adulthood, it just keeps going on until you just feel really angry and resentful. So what was once really loving and kind that you're giving now can turn into something resentful and raging. So for me, I've noticed there's a lot of people that are nice that actually are the most angry people because they just keep everything inside and they just portray that they're just so nice, so kind because I want to. Of course you want to, but it's just very enraging because there's a lack of reciprocation for that, the need that needs to be met. You need to be heard. You need to be seen. You need to be understood. You need to be held. You need to be accepted. You need to be connected. But you're not receiving that. You're giving that.
So the survival thing is really interesting. And I just want to clarify what I think you meant by that. Is because as a 3, 4, 5-year-old, if you don't have connection attachment to your parents, right, you're dead.
Yeah.
Because if a couple of days, you don't have food and water. So we think that we have to keep this, it's what Gabor Mate talks about, authenticity, which is a connection to ourself and our real being, and then attachment, which is a survival that you talked about, right? Mm-hmm. And so we can't give up the attachment, so we give up the authenticity, which is following our gut, which really, really is, I guess, is part of this trying to people please, because we don't feel enough. Mm-hmm. So the people who went through this trauma don't feel enough, so they spend their whole life trying to please people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I kind of stopped using the word trauma because I know when people hear the word trauma, they check out. So does trauma have to be something like major in a kid's life?
No. Yeah. So I really love the work of Gabor Mate too. It really influenced my work in my life as well. So I'm glad that you mentioned the authenticity and the attachment, because those are the two basic essential needs. Sorry, what was the question again?
Does it have to be major? Like, people think trauma, like, I've stopped using that word because people associate trauma with something major, but it doesn't have to be major, right?
Yeah. So people often confuse something traumatic as something really bad happening to you. Like, something really bad has to happen to you to be traumatized, but it's not really, as Gabor Mate says, it's not really what has happened to you, but it's what happens inside of you through what happened. So it's really what happens inside of you because of that situation. It's the meaning that you got, the belief that made you believe that you are not enough. So you must appease so that you can get what you need. So it just goes on inside. It doesn't even have to be a major traumatic event to happen to you, but it's the meaning that you got, the belief that you got that made you feel this way and believe this way and then start to behave this way so that you can get your needs met.
It could be like both your parents work and they worked and they were gone all the time. And so you were alone and you felt alone and you felt unsafe. What is fawning? Can you explain that?
So fawning is a trauma response. It's you have the fight or flight and you have the freeze and then you have the fawn. So fawning is more like basically appeasing. You're just going to calm the situation down. You're going to do everything you can to get everybody to be calm in the situation. So for example, in my childhood, there was a lot of yelling and screaming at home with both of my parents. So the way to like get them to just like be happy again, because if they're happy, that means they love me. So the way to get them to be happy again is just like to calm the situation down. Like, okay, mom, don't be sad. Dad, it's okay. All right. And then we'll appease both of them. I'll be the advocate, like in between, the mediator, the peacemaker, just so that they could just stop fighting and stop yelling at each other. And then my need for survival is not threatened.
Right. Yes. Fighting parents. I mean, who didn't have that? I had that as well. And kids often internalize that. It's their problem. It's their fault. And then, like you said, you try to be the carer, you try to fix it. But as a child, you can't ever fix it. Like, you can't fix your parents' problems. So you internalize that and you said, something's wrong with me. And then some of us live our lives, our whole lives, till 47 years old for me, where I wasn't feeling enough. So if you're wondering if you're a people pleaser, it happens to be one of the 12 questions on my 3-minute self-love quiz. So if you're curious if you are affected by this childhood programming and trauma that Remy's talking about, just go to bradchandler.com/quiz. And in 3 minutes, you're going to know, you're going to get results that tell you. And this quiz and these results could be the first step into healing something that's causing a lot of pain in your life. So go to bradchandler.com, take that quiz, bradchandler.com/quiz, and take that quiz and start your journey. So Remy, what are the hidden repercussions of being a people pleaser in this world?
So the hidden repercussions, like for me, was depression. And anxiety. And depression is basically when you suppress your need, you disconnect with yourself. Whatever you suppress, your body will begin to express it for you. So for me, it was expressed as depression, anxiety, and other symptoms. I had dysmenorrhea. In Philippines, you call it dysmenorrhea, but I'm so used to saying dysmenorrhea. So it's a painful menstruation that happens in the beginning of the period, and it feels like I'm dying every time. And I found out the root cause of it. The reason why I have it is because the only time my mom will give me attention is when I have it.
Oh my God.
The only time when my need will be met is when I have the dysmenorrhea and my mom is there attending to me. So it has a role that it's playing because I'm suppressing my needs. My needs are being suppressed and now my body's expressing so that I can get those needs met. But thankfully, I've healed that. I don't have that for many, many years, thankfully, because of the inner work that I do.
That is fascinating, Remy. I know someone who specializes in this. She's a part of RTT. You went through RTT as well, right? That's where we met?
Yeah.
So RTT is Rapid Transformational Therapy. If you want to go find out about it, just go to bradchandler.com/RTT. But just fascinating. It's fascinating that things in our childhood continue to plague us if we're not aware of them. And you could have, for the rest of your time that you would have a menstrual cycle for the next however many years, you could have gone through this immense pain had you not been aware of this. So it really is fascinating. You and I are in this world, everything or 98% of all suffering is somehow tied back to this childhood trauma and these programming, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's mostly the feeling of not being enough, not being good enough. And I see that in my clients. I see that in my life. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just from that belief. And then when I look at my inner child, I'm like, but she is enough.
Yeah.
Why on earth did she start believing this? And then using RTT, we just go back and then we find the root cause of it. And then we work to change it. And when you work to change your beliefs, you change your life, you heal your body, you heal your symptoms. And it's beautiful to see. And I feel more confident in my life to just say, I am enough. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. And that was my issue too. And it manifests in different ways. But when I figured out I was enough and it had nothing to do with me and it was my parents that made me feel that way, like, wow, did everything change? So to get back to the hidden repercussions, we both love Dr. Gabor Maté. And I believe it's him who said this, that the most severe forms of breast cancer he sees in women happen to be these people pleasers.
Mm-hmm.
And
the ones with ALS too, because they're just so nice, they don't want anybody to help them and you can do it on their own.
Yeah. I've quoted Gabor where he says that every issue in your life comes down to an unmet need as a child.
Yep.
And the coping mechanisms result in cancer and MS. And he doesn't say ALS, but ALS. And the list goes on. And people often fire back at me on social media and they're like, are you freaking telling me I have cancer because of my unchildhood process, unresolved childhood trauma? And I'm like, well, I'm not a doctor qualified to say that. But yes, this Dr. Gabor Maté and several other, I mean, hundreds, I'm sure thousands, it does. It causes cancer.
Yeah. And Dr. John Sorno, I think you should look into Dr. John Sorno because he did a lot of research and work on this topic, that it's the suppression of the emotion that causes the body to express because we're not expressing our emotion. We're not expressing our need and it's not getting met. And then our body is saying it for us. And there's also chronic pains will start showing up too. So that's also one of the repercussions. Chronic pains, sciatica, nerve pains that show up in your body, migraines. It doesn't have to be a drastic illness or a disease, but also those little things like little symptoms and also fibromyalgia. People who have these illnesses and diseases, they're just so, so super nice. I mean, have you ever met a nice person who did not have any of these symptoms?
That's interesting. Yes. So Gabor, or it's either Gabor or another doctor that said when this particular lady was diagnosed with breast cancer, do you know what her first thing she said? She said, how am I going to be able to take care of my husband? There was nothing wrong with her husband. And the doctor was like, this is why you are here. You have got to stop taking care of other people and take care of yourself. So some people are like, it's selfish to take care of yourself. We say it's selfish not to take care of yourself because if you really want to help people from a full cup, not an empty cup.
Yes.
Because you can give more when your cup is full. So the people pleasing, I think what you're saying is a symptom of not feeling enough. And from not feeling enough, the repercussions are endless. I mean, there's 100 autoimmune diseases, and most of them are probably caused by this stress from this unresolved childhood programming and trauma. So,
yep.
Could you share a success story and perhaps your own that illustrates how breaking free from people pleasing can lead to like tremendous personal and professional growth?
Yeah, so I can share my story because it's also very similar to the stories of my clients. So like when I broke free of people pleasing, I became more real and more honest with myself. It feels more freeing. My relationships are more authentic because I'm more authentic with myself. And let me tell you a story as an example. There's this one time that a friend of mine made fun of me. She commented on one of my body parts and made fun of me in public around men. And instead of speaking up for myself, I just appeased her by saying something that you might think that I'm confident with, but actually it's not. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? I like my body parts. It's fine. I'm okay with that. And then I just shrugged it off and moved along. And then one of my counselors saw that and he's like, Remy, are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, because I don't think you are, because I can see that you're not. And then the more I denied it, the more I felt in my body, you are not okay with it, Remy, because you're anxious, you're trying to cover it, you don't want to be seen as not confident or unpleasing, or you don't want to be rejected by her or anybody else. And I just felt really uncomfortable, but I knew what he said was true. And I didn't even know I was a people pleaser until he pointed it out. Like, oh my gosh,
wow.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is? And then because I was doing a lot of work with my counselors, I had to put on my courage and then confront my friend. And he was encouraging me, do it, Remy, you do it, confront her. I'm like, okay, fine. And I was so scared because I'm so used to appeasing, and standing up for myself was just very unfamiliar. In this area, some parts of my life, I'm very used to standing up for myself and being confident and speaking up. But in this area, I wasn't. And so when I confronted her and I told her how I really felt when she commented on my body parts, and immediately her face softened and she apologized genuinely. I saw it. It was so genuine, so true. She was not defensive. She didn't like come up with an excuse. She acknowledged it. And then from then on, our relationship blossomed into something beautiful. And we still keep in touch today. We're so close. So from that experience, I can tell you, it was so liberating that, wow, people can actually like me when I'm stand up for myself, when I speak up for myself that way, instead of just covering up and hiding so that they can feel okay. I can actually express that I'm not okay. I don't feel okay with that comment. And because I was being real and honest with myself, and I projected it to her in still in a nice way, still in a good way, in a healthy expression. And she responded back with love and acceptance of me. I'm like, oh my gosh. And she never commented on my body parts. She, in fact, just tells me that I'm beautiful and I'm loved. And it's wonderful. So like, when you were talking about prioritizing yourself as being selfish, it's not being selfish. You're actually allowing yourself to be filled by people to respect and honor you. And when they see your authenticity and they respond to you in a way that just says, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And they treasure the relationship and they want to keep it.
Right. So you were able to be your authentic self in that situation, but it was really, really tough for you. And people struggle with authenticity because of what we talked about earlier. If you were authentic as a kid, you might have lost attachment to your parents. Mm-hmm. So your mind, however old you are, I'm going to pick 35. At
very
35
close.
Years old, your reptilian brain that has been evolved over millions of years, right, is saying, if I am authentic, I could die. Because that's what your child brain believed. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this and you struggle with having tough conversations or telling your spouse or anyone how you truly feel, it could be because in your childhood, you didn't have that safe person that you could go to that was going to listen to your feelings, and therefore you had to shut them down.
Yep.
So Remy, if you're willing to, would you share with us why as a child you felt not enough?
I felt not enough because I was not praised enough for what I did. So I have another story. Every time when I brought my grades to my parents from a pop quiz, a test, or a report card, and then they don't see 100%, they'll always tell me, next time get it 100%. And it's a 95%. It's an 88%. It's a 97%. Me in my adult brain is like, that is amazing. That's excellent enough. But me in my child brain back in the day at that time, it's like, what? it got me to believe, what can I do to get my mom and dad to praise me, to celebrate me, to accept me? What can I do to get them to say, wow, you're amazing, great job, and kind of reward me with something? And that was it. I had to be a perfectionist. So perfectionism is very closely tied to people pleasing too. So I became a perfectionist, but I could never meet that standard. So there's a fear of failure that follows, and the fear of judgment, and the fear of rejection as well.
So was that the major thing that influenced your life?
That's one of the things.
One of the things.
If I did express my emotion, then I would just be shut down.
Boom.
Like, wow. There's a time when I expressed my pain. I was so sad at this one Christmas day, and I think I was like 7 years old, and I was crying out for my mom's attention. Everyone was just so happy celebrating around the Christmas tree, but I just felt depressed. I just felt sad, and I couldn't understand it. So what I did is I went into the corner. I just cried my eyes out because I just couldn't understand what was going on inside of me. And it's probably because I'm suppressing something that is just so uncomfortable to express, because it was never safe at home to really like talk about your feelings, to express sadness, to express anger, or I was never asked, how are you feeling today, or what's eating you up? And instead of my mom asking me that, she would just shut me down. I'm like, why are you so sad? Everyone's so happy. Can't you just be happy? You know, something like that. And then that imprinted in me, I can't never really express my real feelings here at a subconscious level. And I wasn't aware of it until RTT. And then I became aware of these things. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that still influenced my life into adulthood, because it was never met. I was never given the words I needed to hear. I was never given the space I needed to feel safe again and just be myself, express myself, and tell people how I'm really feeling.
So Remy, when your parents would constantly say, whatever grade you made, it's got to be higher, how did you internalize that? What was the story you were telling yourself about yourself?
That I wasn't good enough. That's it.
Not enough. It doesn't matter what I do, it's not good enough. And I believe I did that to my son because I didn't feel enough. And I thought you get this grade or you get this golf score, if you can only be better, I was pushing him, thinking that I was doing the right thing. But he internalized that as, Dad, I only thought you would love me if I played golf at a high level. I never said that to him, but my lack of self-love and my feeling not enough, my subconscious brain that controls 95% of our behavior, was giving off these messages. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a safe person, if you didn't have a safe person to talk to as a child, I promise you, you have issues in your relationship, in your health, and probably a lot of what we're talking about.
Yep.
And so if you're wondering, did you have a safe person? Think about the bad things in your life that happened to you, whether it was a breakup or someone bullying you at school or just feeling bad, like you said, on Christmas crying. Did you have someone that you could go talk to? And if you didn't, there's probably a good chance that you have some of the issues that we're discussing right now.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I didn't have a safe person. And the only place that I felt safe is when I'm alone at home. Because when I'm alone at home, no one is going to criticize me. No one's going to push me. No one's going to judge my feelings. And no one's going to say anything, or there's no expectations for me to live up to or be a certain person just to make someone happy. So being alone was my safety.
So with what you've learned now, how are you helping people, Remy?
Well, I'm helping them to return back to themselves, because we still have that inner child out where their needs were never met. Okay. And then I help my clients go back to that inner child, reconnect with the inner child, and give that child what they always needed, what they needed to be seen, heard, understood, loved, accepted. What words did they need to hear? You're awesome. You're great. You're wonderful. You're so smart. Oh my gosh, you're amazing. Like, wow, I'm so proud of you. Those wonderful things that they never heard. And reclaim your identity so that it doesn't have to be relied on what people say and what you say and what you think about yourself. Because that's what self-esteem is all about, and self-confidence and self-value and self-worth. It's about self. It's what you think of you. And I love doing this job because I can affirm them of what they needed, because most of the times their needs were never affirmed. I help them affirm it. I help them reclaim their inner child and meet their needs and love themselves fully, see themselves fully, understand themselves fully, and their symptoms get healed.
Do you have a success story of a client that you'd like to share with us?
I do have plenty, but I myself will represent all of them. Many of the people pleasers I work with also have a religious and church background. So because we're so used to giving, we're so used to pleasing and serving and being kind. And then most of them started seeing themselves in a different light. And I'm perfect the way I am. And I can love myself for who I am. And I can express who I am. And it's a wonderful thing just hearing that from them, that they could just be themselves and not care what people say, and then give out of their capacity. So they start respecting themselves and their health and creating healthy boundaries that actually honor their values and their well-being. Even self-care is prioritized. Like, they know what to prioritize themselves first and foremost, and then their family. Because for Christians, from my background, I was taught that you have to be put last, God first, and ministry, serving people, your family, and then yourself. And then I was taught to believe that, but that actually doesn't really make sense, because like you mentioned earlier, how can you give out of an empty cup? You know, how can you give and give and give and give and out of depleting yourself? You can't do that. There's an imbalance that happens. So what my clients gain too is a balance of giving and receiving. They're able to give out of their capacity, and they're able to receive and ask help that they need, and recognize that they have support. They actually have people that love them and support them and listen to them and care for them. So why bother like entertaining people that just give you a hard time and just don't listen to you and just don't care about you? And then even some of them just start deleting contacts on their phone of people that just don't align with who they are, with their authenticity. It's not worth making attachments with people who are not authentic as well, and who don't respect their authenticity. So it just comes full circle. What you do for yourself, you're able to give to others.
Yes. Well, it sounds like, Remy, you've had amazing success with clients, and you continue to have success. If someone's interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can get in contact with you?
Well, they can contact me through my website, remytongle.com. There's a chat box there that they can just hit me up. And they can also follow me on Instagram at remyjtongle. I share more content on people pleasing there as well, and healing yourself and healing from trauma and loving yourself and realizing your worth and your value.
So that's Remy, RemyTongol.com. Thank you for being on the show, Remy. That was awesome.
Thank you, Brad.
That concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. We're on this movement. I want to help 1 million people before I say bye to this beautiful earth. So please help me sharing this message by liking, subscribing, sharing this episode. And till next time, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.